Today in this conversation, I am going to share with you why you are powerful but stuck, why you are fabulous but stuck, why you are the bomb.com but you are stuck. Because remember, several things can be true at the same time. You can be amazing and incredible and powerful and amazing and all the adjectives that I can come up with and still be stuck. And can I tell you what else is also so powerful? You could have made some great strides in your life. You could have accomplished some amazing things. You could be one of the first in this area, the first in this area, and still be stuck. You could have accomplished way more than most of the people in your life, but there's so much more for you to accomplish, and you are stuck because sometimes our achievements fool us into thinking that we are living the fullness of the life He has created for us, He being God, and we still are living a watered down version of ourselves. Hey friend, I'm Robin May, and a few of the professional hats that I wear includes being a transformational speaker, a life coach, and a licensed therapist. And personally, well, I'm a wife, a mommy to three girls, and a pastor's wife, just to name a few. Girl, I'm over here doing all the things while trying to stay in shape and keep my skin clear. But the truth is, I don't want to be known for being busy. I think that's a scheme that somebody set up. No, I want to be known for living a life that is in perfect alignment with what God intended. And I want to help you do the same. So it's with that in mind, I'd like to welcome you right here to Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. Over here, we're creating a safe space to have real conversations with real women on real topics. This is a judgment-free zone where we can be vulnerable and honest and curious about our lives so that we can elevate not just what we do, but who we are. So if any of that resonates with you, again, welcome to our safe space. This is Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. Hey friend, welcome back to Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. And did you hear me say welcome back? Listen, if this is your first time here, I should really say welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm super excited that you are taking some time to hang out with me. This is just a place to have real conversation with real women on real topics. If you are one of my returning sisters, I am so happy that you are back. I love this time that we have. I love this community that we are building. You all are DMing me. You are stopping me when you see me, letting me know that you are tuning into the podcast, and I really appreciate it. You could really help me out. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Leave a comment and share this video. If you are listening to this on your favorite podcast app, will you please leave a review? Also, wherever you are watching this, share it with your people. Let them know that we are really diving in over here. I'm super excited about our conversation today, but before I go there, girl, have you gotten your copy of Before You Take His Name? I wrote this book back in 2008. This is the re-release, and it is available right now. Wherever you are watching or listening, you can look in the description and I'll have a link to purchase, or you can just go to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Books has an S on it. robinmayonline.com/shopbooks and grab your copy of Before You Take His Name. This book is perfect for a single woman who has a desire to get married. Even if you don't have a boo right now, ain't a boo on the horizon, you've decided you're taking a break from dating, you're not getting back on a dating site, honey, this book is still for you. If you got a serious relationship and you are trying to decide, is this really the one for me, girl? This book is for you. If you are married, honey, and you have just one single friend, all you need is one single friend, girl, buy this book for her. I really want to get this in as many hands as possible. If you are a member of a church and you all have a strong singles ministry, contact the singles ministry director. Tell them about this book. Have them reach out to me so that I can share more about it. This is a Christian perspective to saying I do, and I'm super excited about this re-release. All right, so make sure you grab your copy so that we can help people build strong marriages. All right, All right. So what are we talking about today? Well, if you are watching this real time, you know that we are still in the month of March, and March is Women's History Month. And there is no way, as much of a girl's girl that I am, that I could let Women's History Month go by without acknowledging the power of women. I have a heartbeat for women. I love getting together with strong and powerful women. I learn from women, the majority, not all, because if any of the fellas are watching this, I know I got some men on my caseload, but the majority of my caseload are women and couples. But I love working with women. I learn so much from my clients. Let me tell y'all the funny. Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm telling this story. But I learned so much from my clients. One of my clients referred a book to me. She referred it to me a long time ago. I read the book, baby, low-key became obsessed with it. The author of this book needs to give me some royalties the way I tell people about this book. So this particular client and I have been working together for a while. So a situation came up. It made me think about something with the book. And I was like, girl, you got to go to read this book. It is so, so good. The next session, she came back and she was like, ma'am, I think I told you about the book. She was like, when I went to it, I was like, wait a minute. I think I told Robin about the book. That's how impactful my work is with my clients. They influence me. I clearly am influencing them because they stick around. And so I absolutely love being with strong and resilient. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Creative, amazing women. And so for Women's History Month, that's what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the strength and power of women. But I also, because I wouldn't be me if I didn't do this, I want to share with you why three reasons you may find that you are stuck. There may be, I think there are three reasons you may be stuck. And I want to help you get unstuck so that you can live the life you truly want to live. You know, over here, life stands for living intentionally, fully engaged. Over here, I am helping you elevate not just what you do, although that's important. I'm helping you elevate who you are. I'm helping you live life. And so there are three reasons you may be stuck. And I'm going to share with you those three reasons. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do about it. Also, I invited some of my girlfriends into this podcast. I made a post on social media and I asked them to tell me how they shifted or got unstuck in areas of their life. So I'm going to read some of what they shared. So we have a lot to cover, and hopefully we're going to do this pretty quickly so I don't have you here like I did last time for well over an hour. Did you check out that episode? Y'all made me review Love is Blind. I've never done anything like that before. Did you check out that episode? Okay, so let's dive into this conversation. Whenever I am speaking to a room filled with women, particularly when I'm speaking for ministry engagements, I often say this to women. I often say, something happens when God's girls gather together to give him glory. Something happens when God's girls gather together. This is so powerful to me and so true. At one point on my career journey, I even rebranded the work I do for women. I rebranded it to When Girls Gather, because something happens when girls gather. Now we've now rebranded once again to Live Life, because that really is the heartbeat of the overarching message that I have. But at one point, I even rebranded for When Women Gather, because something happens when we gather together, when girls gather together. Something shifts when we can put aside our pretense, when we can put aside our pride, when we stop thinking that this girl has something against me or that girl has something against me. When we really come together, something happens, and I believe something supernatural happens. And so that is what I really believe about the power of women. My idea of a good time is to hang out with some of my girlfriends at a Mexican restaurant or to have Mexican at home, and we're just laughing and talking and having a good time, baby. That's my idea of a good time. My birthday, I'm turning 50 in the year of this, our Lord, 2024. Let's just pause for a minute. Sis is turning 50. And my husband is trying to figure out what we are doing. And really, I want to say, baby, get me a penthouse at a hotel and let me just bring all my girlfriends together, just all of them, just everybody come together. We all just have on pajamas and we just sit around and have a good time. But I don't think that's what I'm doing. But that's my idea of a good time. And so I just love the power of women. And I have found, however, that there are so many women who are living on the sidelines of their own life. There are so many women who are living on the sideline of their own life. They are no longer taking center stage in their own life. They are allowing their understudy to get top billing in their life. And who is their understudy? I'm going to use this version to describe it. My girlfriend Lisa once said that she was tired of living the watered down version of herself. She said, I'm tired of living the watered down version of myself. And so when I think about us allowing our understudy to get top billing in our life, that's really what I mean by our understudy, the watered down version of you. You are allowing the insecure version of you, the overwhelmed version of you, the stressed out all the time version of you, the version of you that really isn't tapping into all that God has created you to be. That is who is getting top billing in your life. That is who is on center stage more often than not. Many of us are living a life on the sidelines. And I hope this episode will move you toward returning to center stage. Now, listen, the majority of the women who tune into the work I do are women of faith. And you know, I love you. You know, I'm with you. You know, I'm one of you. And so what happens often with women of faith, when they hear me say, I need you to return back to center stage of your life, they feel a little bit uncomfortable, because many of us know if we love God, we really want God to be the hero of our story. We really want God to take center stage. But I want you to understand, in Hebrews, woman of faith, woman of God, in Hebrews, the Bible says that he takes no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. He takes no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. And so even God wants you to live life. He wants you to live the abundant life he has promised you. Now, we have gotten this idea of an abundant life confused. I understand that there's this huge movement right now of the soft life. And girl, I'm with you. I am with you. I too want to live my own version of the soft life. We are craving that, and we are desiring that, and we are longing for that, because many of us feel overworked and we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we are often rebounding from some life challenge. And so we really want to be able to take a deep breath. We just want to be able to take a deep breath. I often tell husbands, when I am working with couples, that their wife wants to be able to take a deep breath. She wants to know that she can trust you, that she can depend on you, that she can rely on you. She wants to be able to take a deep breath. Ladies, we want to take a deep breath. I don't know why these fellas think we don't want them to lead. No, we want you to lead. We just want to make sure that you're leading. Somebody tell somebody amen. We just want you to make sure you're leading. We want you to lead. If I can trust that you can lead, I'm going to be good, right? My husband often reminds me, my daddy, may he rest in heaven. My dad told me one time, I called him, and I think Lee and I at that point maybe had been married 5 years, and I called him and I was complaining about my husband. And my daddy didn't really play that. You know, my dad really felt like, don't be calling, that's the man you chose. Don't be calling me complaining. And he really, really loved my husband. And he actually told my husband when we got married, he said, listen, Robin is now your responsibility. And so if there is an issue, I'm always going to have my baby girl's back, but I'm going to respect you. If you come to me, if y'all need something, if there is a challenge, I'm going to respect you as the man for you to come to me. Don't make my daughter have to come to me. And so my dad really, really loved my husband. He really did. And I'm not going to cry. But my dad passed away now almost 3 years ago. And one day I called him and I was complaining about my husband, about something that I felt like my husband should have been doing or should have been handling. And my dad said this to me. He said, "Robin, a man is going to do one of two things. He is either going to fight you for control, or he is going to relinquish control. If he fights you for control, then your marriage is going to be contentious because you're going to be fighting him back. If he relinquishes control, he's going to say, okay, you want to handle it. You got it. You go ahead and handle it." He said, "If you want your man to step up to the plate, I'm going to need you to step off of the plate." Changed my life. It changed my life. And so when my husband is getting annoyed with me, he'll say, "What'd your daddy say?" "What did your daddy say?" But I made that whole statement because, ladies, we want a man to lead. We will step off the plate long as I know when you step up, things are going to get done. So I understand the reason so many of us are longing for the soft life, but we've gotten this idea of the abundant life confused because we're thinking that that's going to mean problem-free or challenge-free, and that's just not the truth. God wants you to live an abundant life, but he never promised that abundance means that there's no challenges, that there's no overwhelm. He never promised that. He did say, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but you can be of good cheer because although they are there, I've already overcome them. He did tell us, listen, the weapons are going to form. Let me go ahead and warn you. The weapons are going to form, but when you are in me, they cannot prosper. They simply cannot prosper. That doesn't mean you won't get sick, but even if it's sickness unto death, you still will be with me. There is no way the weapon can prosper. And so I know that it feels uncomfortable when you hear me say, "Girl, return back to the center stage," but you understand what I mean, not where you are overriding the authority of God in your life, but you are getting in your rightful place in the story that he has created for you. But girl, again, so many of us are living this watered down version of you. Now listen, if you are listening to this, girl, you are listening to this for a reason. There is a reason that God invited you to listen to this episode this day for this specific reason. I want you to live life. So when I talk about the fact that so many women are allowing their understudy to get top billing, I can relate to that. And often people are surprised when I say that I too find myself living a watered down version of myself. I wish I could pull up the poem. I think her name is Marianne Wilson. I can't remember. But she wrote the poem called Our Greatest Fear. And that poem is just so powerful because she says, listen, our greatest fear is not that we are not powerful. That's what she says. Let's look it up real quick. Because some of y'all are saying it as I'm trying to say it. Some of you all are saying it for me. But let's look it up real quick. Our greatest fear, because this wasn't in my notes. Our greatest fear is not that we, oh my God, it gives me chills every time I think about it. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Her name is Marianne Williamson. Didn't she run for president? Let me read a little bit of this. I'm gonna start from the beginning. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. My God, I can so relate to this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Watch this. You are a child of God. If you aren't the one shining, she didn't say this part, this is me saying this. If you aren't the one shining, who should be shining? Just today, as I was out running, you see that light brag I just gave? Did you see that brag I just gave? Yes, baby, when I was out running, because yes, I am still running 3 days a week. But just today, when I was out running, I was thinking about the fact, and this is going to be hard to hear, girl, but just stick with me because you know I'm on your team. I was running and I was thinking, the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Y'all, we're supposed to be living an abundant life. And again, we're careful how we're defining abundant. That doesn't mean problem-free, but we really are supposed to be living a life that is full and fulfilling and significant and impactful, because you have this treasure in this earthen vessel. And so if you shine, and if I shine, and if she shines, and if the girl over there shines, then we are literally lighting up the world. And so when I tell you to come from behind the stage and let that watered down version of you take a rest and you shine bright, I understand the fear of that. I often, when I think about this, I get this visual. And I have this visual of me, because I know that there are so many times in my life that if we stick with this analogy, there are so many times in my life where I am literally hiding behind the stage. There's this great opportunity before me, or there is this great light that is shining in my direction, and I am behind the stage, and I am peeking out from behind the curtain, and I can see all the people who are waiting for me to come out there, and I say, I can't do it. I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. Oh, no, man. And so there are these subtle ways that I began to sabotage. And if it wasn't for the people in my life, if it wasn't for the people who love me, who I now choose to listen to, I would not come from behind the stage. Even with Before You Take His Name, this is a perfect example of this. You guys see this cover. If you are listening to the podcast, I'm just holding up a cover of the book. If you want to see the cover of the book, girl, go on over to Shop Books, robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. And while you're over there looking at the cover, girl, go ahead and order you a copy. Did I tell you need to buy it for? Did we talk about that? You need to buy it for any single friends you have. If you're married, you need to buy it for your daughters. You need to buy it for your best friends. You need to buy it for yourself. But even with the cover, my husband really was saying, baby, you need to put yourself on the cover. And it was so bad we got into an argument about it, because I was like, no, I don't want to be on the cover. Not until he told me, he said, text Valerie. That's his go-to, because he knows how highly I esteem the opinion of my girlfriend, Valerie, who has written all of these books. And so he said, Robin, ask Valerie. And I asked Valerie, and she too agreed with him. And so I put several of my other girlfriends, let me make sure I acknowledge other people, because I was trying to find somebody not to agree with. I was trying to find somebody not to agree with him. And so I ended up putting myself on the cover, and it was the right choice. But it's just it's just one example. I could give you so many where I literally will begin to subtly sabotage because I am afraid of coming out onto the stage. So sis, if any of that resonates with you, we're going to talk about it today. Today in this conversation, I am going to share with you why you are powerful but stuck, why you are fabulous but stuck, why you are thebomb.com but you are stuck. Because remember, several things can be true at the same time. You can be amazing and incredible and powerful and amazing and all the adjectives that I can come up with and still be stuck. And can I tell you what else is also so powerful? You could have made some great strides in your life. You could have accomplished some amazing things. You could be one of the first in this area, the first in this area, and still be stuck. You could have accomplished way more than most of the people in your life, but there's so much more for you to accomplish, and you are stuck. Because sometimes our achievements fool us into thinking that we are living the fullness of the life He has created for us, He being God, and we still are living a watered down version of ourselves. And so today I want to share with you why you are fabulous but stuck. Now, before I give you these three reasons, I'm going to give you three reasons you are stuck, and I want you to promise me that you're going to make a promise, girl. Okay, let me tell you what the promise is, and then you promise me. You ready? The promise is, when I give you these three reasons why you are stuck, I want you to promise me that you are going to come DM me. You're going to come and DM me. Go to my Instagram. It is Robin May Online, and you cannot forget that. You know my name is Robin. You know my last name is May, like the month, and you know Instagram is online, so Robin May Online. And I want you to DM me and tell me which of these three reasons resonate with you. But before I tell you these three reasons, I first want to do two things. One, I invited some of my Facebook friends to share with me what they did to get unstuck in one area or more. So let me tell you this. The women at our church, my husband and I, if you're new here, my husband and I pastor a church, Transforming Faith Church. And the women at TFC, that's what we call our church, the women at TFC are called freed women. That's what I call them, the freed women, or that's what we call them. And I call them freed women because our commitment is this: freed women, free women. Freed women, free women. In other words, once you've gotten free in a certain area, you have an obligation and, quite frankly, an anointing to help a sister get free in that area. But what's so powerful about this concept is you may be free over here, but stuck over here. And so this freedom over here, you can help this sister, but girl, that sister over there can help you get unstuck where you're stuck. So my Facebook friends shared where they have been stuck before and what they did to shift. I phrased the question by asking them this. Let me see. I want to read it for you exactly how I said it. Let's see if I can find it. Hold on one second. All right. So I told them, I wanted them to answer this question. I wanted to be the kind of woman who, fill in the blank, so I became her. Now, this is the second thing I'm going to ask you to do for me. Can you DM me your answer to this question in honor of Women's History Month? I wanted to be the kind of woman who, fill in the blank, so I became her. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can do it right in the YouTube comments. If you're watching this or listening to this on your favorite podcast app, you can DM me on Instagram. I wanted to be the kind of woman who, fill in the blank, so I became her. You know, when you're looking at areas of your life, I want you to be able to say, I wasn't doing this. I was kind of stuck in this area, and this is what I got unstuck in this area, right? So how I would answer this question is, I wanted to be the kind of woman who was a runner, so I became her. Let me tell you what several of my girlfriends said. Hey, Jairus, my friend Jairus, she said, I wanted to become the kind of woman that prioritized her needs, so I am becoming her. I love that. Jairus said, I am still becoming her. It's a work in progress. My sis Ebony, oh, I love this girl. Ebony said, I wanted to become the kind of woman that showed up for children in need, and so I became her. I wanted to become the kind of woman that showed up for children in need, so I became her. Loved it. Kanisha said, I wanted to be the kind of woman who walked boldly into rooms, and so I became her. I need you to be thinking about what you are going to DM me or what you're going to comment on the YouTube link. I want to know, who did you become? Let me give you a few more. My girl, Chastity is my girl from Dallas, Texas. It's my home girl. She is my AB partner. We call our group me AB. And then she also is my college classmate. Well, not really, because she's older than me. Hey, Chastity. Hey, Chas. Yes, honey, you're older than me. I know y'all don't like it. My girls don't like it when I tell them that. Anyway, Chastity is my sister. Chastity said, I wanted to become the kind of woman that, wait a minute, Chastity, are you older than me? I'm saying that, but I don't know. Anyway, okay. Chastity said, I wanted to become the kind of woman that takes care of herself just as much as she takes care of others. And so I became her. I think a lot of y'all can relate to that. We have a few more. Listen to this. My girl, Linda, who is also a mental health professional, she is the bomb. She said, I wanted to be the kind of woman people trusted and felt safe with in their darkest moments. So I became her. I love that, Linda. Oh my God, Miss Carol. Miss Carol is the prayer warrior you want praying for you. Miss Carol said, I wanted to be the kind of woman who gives to others. And so I became her. All right, we have three more. Miss Daisy, I love me some Miss Daisy. She said, I think Miss Daisy and her husband have been married. Oh my gosh, am I making it up to say 40 years? I think they may have been married 40 years. Miss Daisy said, I wanted to be the kind of woman who exemplifies God's love for any and every person I come across in life. And I became her. Daisy, I love that. My sis Nai and I have been friends for 30 years. That is my girl. Nai and I said, I wanted to be the kind of woman who exhorts positiveness, encourages others, especially other women, and I became her. And this is the last one. This is my girl, Amila Tay. Amila is one of my girls as well, my sister friend, and Amila and I were roommates. That's just my heart. Amila is my whole heart. Amila said, I wanted to be the type of woman who is trustworthy. So I became her. But she added a caveat. Listen to this. I am not into secrets, but I do value discretion and holding space for what is personal and private. And when I tell you, baby, that, Amila, if you're looking at this, honey, that is so you. She is where I'm going to go with my secrets, baby. She became her. I hope that inspired you, sis. As we talk about the three reasons you may be stuck, I hope that inspires you. And I want to hear yours. I wanted to become the kind of woman who, fill in the blank, so I became her. Listen, women are amazing. We have an innate ability to nurture life. We are amazing. And listen, even if you have not given birth, you were created with an innate ability to nurture life into existence, whether it is figuratively or literally. That is innate within us as women. Women are resilient. We are resilient. And I know we are sick of having to be resilient. Somebody say amen. Can somebody just say amen, Robin, on that? I know we are sick of being resilient, but we are. And we need that strength as we navigate life. We are connectors. You know, even if you aren't a people person, you're still a connector. A lot of times people who are not people persons, am I saying that right? Even if you're not a people person, the people that you do connect with, I bet you connect deeply with. Even if it's not a lot of people, the people you do connect with, you connect deeply with. We are connectors. Women tend to be emotionally intelligent. We know how to express our feelings. We feel deeply. We know how to name our feelings. And that's a bit of a generalization. But for the most part, we have an ability to tap into our emotions if we give ourselves the space to. Did you hear me say that, sis? If we give ourselves the space to. And so if we're that dope and we're that amazing and we're that incredible, what's going on? Why are we stuck? I'm gonna give you three reasons, and then I'm gonna give you three things to do. And then we're gonna get out of here, girl. This may be one of our shortest episodes. Not really already, because we are ready right now, at this very moment. I think we're already at 30 minutes, but that's okay, sis. That's okay. All right, so let me give you the three reasons you may be stuck. You ready? Reason number one, your internal dialogue is toxic. Your internal dialogue is toxic. Girl, you need to be taking notes. Are you taking notes? Grab your phone, get your journal. I told y'all I want y'all to have a Intentional Conversations with Robin May podcast journal, a journal just for our work over here. Before the summer, y'all are going to be able to buy a journal from me for the podcast. I'm working on another journal for another program. I'll tell you about that at the end. But you'll be able to buy a journal for the podcast. Mark my word. Okay. Your internal dialogue is toxic. What do I mean? Well, if you think about what researchers say, we all have internal dialogue. And some researchers say, I think the research is that 90% of our internal dialogue is negative. Let me look that up, because, baby, we're doing this real time. Let me see if that percentage is correct. Hold on. I'm looking something up for those of you who are listening. I'm just looking something up real quick, because I quote this number often. And I want to make sure I'm giving it to you correctly. Let's see if I can get this very quick. Yes, yeah, so I was going to say 90%. Somewhere between 80 to 90% of our internal dialogue is negative. What we are saying to ourselves and about our situation. 80 to 90% of our internal dialogue is negative, but I'm taking it a step further and I'm saying 80 to 90% of our internal dialogue is toxic. What you are saying to you about you is keeping you stuck. Sis, we all have a schema, a way that we collect information very quickly to make a conclusion, to come to a conclusion. But if your filter is negative, your schema is negative, you're coming to negative conclusions. And if you aren't doing the work to change what you're saying to yourself, then more than likely what you're saying to yourself about yourself is negative. And if you're talking to yourself negatively, of course, how you're showing up isn't the way that you really want to show up. I like to tell women, you wouldn't say to other people in their face half of what you say to you about you. You know, I had to pause. And if you know me, you know I'm going to say that again. I tell people often that what you say about you, you wouldn't even say that to another person in her face or his face. And so if you want to get unstuck, sis, you're going to have to change. We'll start by challenging your internal dialogue. What are you saying about you? What are you saying about your situation? Watch this. You know, I was going to go here. What are the stories you are telling yourself? So I'm sure you've heard that language before. What is the story you're telling yourself? What is the story you're telling yourself? Remember, I said we have a schema, and our schema is how we collect and process information. But your schema does it very quickly based on your past experiences and your past perspective. And so many times we come to conclusions, we tell ourselves stories, and we believe everything that we think. Can I rephrase that for you? I don't want you to believe everything you think. I want you to take the thought and challenge it. Many of you are thinking a thought, you're letting the thought come in, you're letting it have a seat, you're giving it some cookies, you're giving it something to drink, instead of challenging the thought. Just because you think a thought, it doesn't mean the thought is true. And so you're coming to some conclusions. Your schema is developing a story, and that story may not be true. So when you think about that job that you want, you quickly come to a conclusion about it, why you don't measure up. When you think about this friendship you want to develop with someone, you quickly come to a conclusion, a story you're telling yourself that she's funny acting, or she's not going to like me, or she has an issue with me. Somebody says the slightest thing to you, and you take that information and you decide that they're trying to be funny and they're trying to comfort you when that wasn't even their intention, but you've already popped off to them. And so now you're having challenges having solid friendships and relationships, and you've concluded your internal dialogue is because either they're so messed up or you're so messed up. What is your internal dialogue? What are the conclusions you're coming to? What is the story you're telling yourself? When you think about your future relationship, when you think about church, when you think about your family, it's your core beliefs that are fueling so much of what you think. And if you don't challenge it, sis, you're going to stay on the roller coaster of crazy. So number one, the reason why you are stuck is your internal dialogue just may be toxic. You ready for number two? Number two is that you have a low tolerance for uncertainty. You have a low tolerance for uncertainty. Remember, I'm talking about why you're stuck. You can't quite move from where you are. You're right here. You know you want to be over here. You're right here and you know you want to lose weight, but you can't figure out how. You're having a hard time. You're stuck. You can't seem to get over there to what it's going to take to lose weight. You know you want to have a healthier relationship with your family, but you can't quite figure out how to get over there. You're stuck. You know you need a new career. Where you are right now, you're very frustrated, but you can't quite figure out how to get over there. You know that there is more to life than what you're living, but you can't quite seem to get over there. You know, you probably need to find a therapist, but you just can't quite seem to get over there. And the reason number two is because you have a low tolerance for uncertainty, because you are here, you got to get over here, but you cannot go from where you are to where you're supposed to be without going through the middle. I call it the messy middle. But many of you don't have a tolerance. Many of us have a low tolerance for that messy middle, that uncertainty. And so because you are either a perfectionist or you are a control freak, I didn't want to say it, but I had to say it, or you are just afraid. You're just saying, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. But saying I'm afraid doesn't give you a true answer. I'm afraid of what? I'm afraid of not knowing what's happening over there. Listen to this. In order to experience transformation, you must be willing to tolerate uncertainty and the unknown. And if you cannot tolerate uncertainty and the unknown, you will sabotage the transformation. And the transformation is the exact thing you long for and desire. And it is going to be uncomfortable. Sis, it is going to be uncomfortable. It is what you want, but getting to what you want is going to be uncomfortable. But because you cannot tolerate that uncomfortableness, which is the uncertainty and the unknown, you are staying stuck. Have I come down your street yet? I told you I wanted you to DM me and tell me which of these three really resonate with you. Number one, your internal dialogue is toxic. Number two, you have a low tolerance for uncertainty. All right, girl, and here's the third reason you may find yourself stuck. Many of you are stuck because you have not created a safe space. What do I mean? So many of you are living on what I have called isolation island. And listen, I got my spiritual girls who are going to say, Robin, God has me in a season of isolation. All right, I'll give it to you. There are times that we may be pulled away from the crowd, but you have turned what was a season into a lifetime. You were not created for isolation island. You were created for community, to be in healthy fellowship with other people, especially other women who can encourage you, who can push you, who can challenge you, who can remind you of how incredible you are, who can remind you of how special you are, who can point out your gifts, who can also challenge you and show you that blind spot that you just couldn't see, to help you see the growth areas in your life, to challenge you, girl, you cannot say that like that. Girl, this is probably happening because of this, to really help you become the fullest and greatest version of you. Remember, iron sharpens iron. You need a safe space. When I talk about a safe space is a relationship where there is no judgment, there is no condemnation. You are free to feel vulnerable or to be vulnerable and to share your concerns without fear of retribution, or again, without fear of judgment. But here's the thing. Safe spaces don't just happen. They have to be created. And I know it feels a little bit lame. Like, will you be my friend? Yes, no, maybe so, like we did in elementary. Or, hey, there's this girl named Robin, and she does a podcast, and she said, I need a safe space. And so I'm thinking maybe you could be my safe space. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to allow relationships to grow organically. And as they grow organically, yes, there needs to be a mutual understanding that we are that for one another. I had a girlfriend of mine was in town. Hey, TT, and my girl Ray, who we have been friends since, me and Ray have been friends since I was 12, since we were 12. Anyway, these are my sisters, honey, and my sorority sisters, but these are my girls. And we happened to be in the car, and we were revisiting something that I say all the time, that I have learned to stop inserting myself in people's world in a way that they're not asking me to. And so I found myself often assuming that I had that kind of relationship with somebody, and I had to learn that I didn't necessarily have that role in somebody's life. And so, yes, you want to make sure that it's mutually beneficial. Some of you have had the opposite. You, or maybe it's the same thing that I'm saying, that you are disappointed because you thought you had a different type of relationship with someone. So, yeah, at some point, you got to have that conversation like, listen, I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to tell me the truth. If I ask you a question, I'm really asking because I really trust your insight. Have that conversation. It has to be created. But it's not just created. It then has to be cultivated. In other words, you got to go in there and pull up the weeds and pull up the offense and pull up the frustration. Don't allow that stuff to fester. Make sure you say, okay, girl, I know I was tripping the other day. There has to be some apologies sometimes. You have to cultivate it. It has to be created. It has to be cultivated. And then it has to be covered. It has to be protected from influences so that you can make sure that y'all can continue to be that for one another. This is not quantity. You don't have to have 15 people like this, but it is quality. You want to know that you have a safe space. Why? What is that connected to being stuck? Because those are the people who are going to hold your hand and pull you into that messy middle. Those are the ones, even if they can't be in it with you, they're going to say, girl, you can do it. Keep going. Those are the ones who are going to say, baby girl, you've been in that middle a little bit too long. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to come on out or go back. And going back is not an option. Those are the people who will help you. Transformation is going to require that you have community. So sis, those are the three reasons that you just may be stuck. Number one, your internal dialogue is toxic. Number two, you have a low tolerance for uncertainty. And number three, you don't have a safe space. Can I give those to you again? The three reasons you just may be stuck. Your internal dialogue is toxic. You have a low tolerance for uncertainty and you have not created a safe space. But you already know, girl, I'm not going to leave you hanging. We're about to get out of here, but we're not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to share with you very quickly three things I want you to do, something you can start today. Often when I am helping my clients unpack something, when I'm helping my girlfriends unpack something, they will say, okay, Robin, I get it. Yes, yes, I know. But what now? What's next? I'm going to share with you what's next. You may not like it, but girl, I'm going to tell you anyway. Number one, I'm going to be quiet for a minute. I'm going to see if you can guess. This will let you know how long you've been hanging with me. Can you guess what the first thing is? I know some of y'all said pray. Of course, that's a given. I want you to pray. But number one, pause and pay attention. I want you to pause and pay attention. The reason why I said you may not like it, because you're ready to do something. But that's not the first step. You need to pay attention to what is working and what isn't working in your life. You need to do an honest assessment of your life. Where are we going to put our energy first? Where do we need to lean in? What do we need to do? You need to pause and pay attention. And you can start by asking yourself three questions. What do you feel? What triggered the feeling? And what is the feeling trying to tell you? Girl, you can work on that this week. The next time you feel something intense, don't rush past it. Don't just keep going. Pause. Pay attention. What are you feeling? What triggered that feeling? What is that feeling trying to tell you? Journal it. Call that friend that's in your safe space now and say, girl, help me unpack this. Pause and pay attention. Pay attention to what your tell is. T-E-L-L. I can tell when I'm feeling really, really stressed because there's a pain that happens in the shoulder blade of my left shoulder. That's a tell for me, like something is going on. I can tell when I'm in my feelings, honey, and I'm on Facebook and every little thing is irritating me and I start typing and I'm responding to somebody and I'm getting ready to give them my harsh opinion or just my opinion on a Facebook post and I'm going long. That's a tell that I'm feeling some kind of way because I normally have enough sense not to get into ridiculous social media debates. So when I start doing that, that's a tell for me. What do I mean by a tell? Paying attention. What is a signal, a sign that you're off? What is your tell? One of my people told me that her left hand starts tingling. That's when she can tell, wait, something is off. Pause and pay attention. Stop ignoring what your body, what your soul is trying to tell you. You can start this today. I know you may feel stuck, but you can get unstuck by pausing and paying attention to what's going on with you. That's number one. That's the first thing I want you to do. Girl, if that's all you can do, stop the video right now. Well, don't stop because I got something else to tell you. But stop the video in a minute, in a minute. Just write that down. Pause and pay attention. That's the first thing. Number two, as you're pausing and paying attention, I want you to learn how to explore your patterns. Explore the patterns that show up in your life. What is the pattern that happens with you in friendship? What are the patterns that happen to you in dating? What are the same arguments you and your spouse get into? What happens when you're trying to lose weight? What is that pattern? what happens when it comes to ministry? What happens? What is the pattern? What has been your pattern when it comes to your work? Pay attention to your patterns. Don't just give it, don't just brush it off because this is what I always do. No, sis, pay attention to your patterns so that you can discover what is happening in your life. As you discover your patterns, you'll probably be able to trace back to what is the undercurrent of those patterns. What's the belief system that's running beneath the surface that's causing this same situation to show up in your life over and over again? Because here's the thing, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So we first need to understand what's going on so that we can begin to make the necessary shifts so you can get unstuck. Number one, pause and pay attention. Number two, explore your patterns. Here's number three. I want you to PACE yourself. What's that spell? Pace. Pace yourself. This is an acronym. What does it mean? Prioritize self-care. You've got to care for your soul. I said self-care, but I really want to say self and soul care. You have to care for your soul. You have to prioritize self and soul care. Just do some deep breathing daily. Journal daily. Get out in the sun daily. Talk to somebody you love daily. Turn on something that makes you laugh daily. Prioritize self-care. The A, acknowledge what you really want. Girl, you haven't even acknowledged the life you want. What do you really want right now? Within the realm, listen to this question. Right now, within the realm of your reality, what do you want? I know you want to be able to be on a yacht 7 days a week, having somebody feed you lobster and pouring you wine. I know that's ultimately what you want. But since we're not there yet, right now, within the realm of your realm of your reality, what do you want? What do you really want? What is something that would bring joy to you? Acknowledge it. Just acknowledge it. That's A. C, carve out specific steps. Let's just start with the first thing you said you really want. Carve out specific steps. What will it take to get there? Carve out. Remember, I'm saying pace yourself. You ask me, what do you need to do? I'm telling you, you said, Robin, I am stuck. What do I need to do? I'm telling you, after you've acknowledged, carve out specific steps. This is all I want. Take a picture of that and send it to me. Write down the specific steps it's going to take for you to get to what you want. And then E, for pace, is evaluate what is working and what isn't when it comes to what you want. What is working and what isn't? So I just gave you some strategies that can help you get unstuck. Girl, I'm telling you, do this, and then listen and watch what happens. Number one, pause and pay attention. I gave you three what questions. What do you feel? What's triggering the feeling? What is the feeling trying to tell you? What is your tell? That's outside of those three what questions. The next thing is, what is your tell? Number two, explore your patterns. What's that undercurrent? Number three, pace yourself. Prioritize self-care. Acknowledge what you want. Carve out specific steps and evaluate what is working and what isn't. In honor of Women's History Month, it would do my heart so good to know that I am sharing something with you that's helping you shift your life, that's helping you live intentionally, fully engaged. If this episode helped you, will you DM me and let me know? Will you share this with someone? Tell them, girl, I need you to listen to this. This is how you can begin to create a safe space. Send it to somebody and say, girl, let's jump on a call and discuss your takeaway. I hope that this has helped you, and I cannot wait to talk to you in the next episode. I'll see you later. Hey, friend, listen, I'm super excited that you listened to this episode of Intentional Conversations with Robin May and Friends. But before you go, did you know that my book, Before You Take His Name, is officially available for you to purchase? Just head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Before You Take His Name gives Christian women 14 questions that you should ask before you say I do. But here's the thing. The book is actually best for those who may be casually dating, or girl, even if you're not dating at all, this is the time to read the book, because it will allow you to set a healthy foundation when you start to get serious about somebody that just may be the one. So if you haven't already, head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, it's right in the description of this video. If you're watching this on your favorite podcast app, you can find it in the show notes. Or if you're following me on Instagram, you can head over to Robin May Online and click the link in my bio. Listen, girl, if you're married, will you go ahead and order it for one of your single girlfriends? Tell them I told you to send it to them. Again, Before You Take His Name is available for purchase. Go grab your copy.